at Mount Airy. This is only our third week in the building. We have been outside in the hot, in the cold, in the wind, some rain, and so it's been great for us to get back to the building. And I tuned into at least one of your services that was live streamed, and I wondered why the singing wasn't normal. And then I could see the masks going into your mouth as you were trying to get your breath. And so I realized what I would soon have to face when we went inside. I recognize a lot of you, even with masks on. And some of you I don't recognize, but I'm glad that you're here as we have come to worship the living God. And glad at this time in God's providence we have such things as live streaming. And so I'll say hi to hopefully many friends that may be watching. I'm glad that Marg and I could join you to worship the living God this morning, and that your session has invited me to preach God's word. We've prayed not only with your dealing with the pandemic, but also with very emotional and painful decisions that have been made within the congregation. My guess that all of you would agree that things are just not normal. That, of course, is evident today as this church, along with so many that were able to gather throughout the world, have to wear masks, practice social distancing, along with many other constraints. Yet in God's kindness, for those of you whom it would be safe to stay at home are able to do that, what a great blessing that you can join us live streamed. I kind of looked on the internet the other day because I was wondering how many organizations and even churches began this year, this new decade, with the phrase, this phrase, scrolling across their homepage on the internet. Moving ahead with 2020 vision. Oh my. I wonder how many have took those web pages down. How have you fared with all the changes and restrictions due to COVID-19? For our understanding of normal has been turned on its head with all the changes at church, at work, school, sports, healthcare, vacations, and many more. And particularly hard has been the inability to gather or travel, missing grandkids, family gatherings, visiting our aged loved ones, and even gathering for weddings and funerals. For many struggling with these changes, it's been heartbreaking, and for some of them, and it's even led to loss of life. Not only have I heard, but I've also even said statements similar to these. I'm tired of all this. I just want to get back to the pre-corona days. I just want my life to be normal, predictable, stable. I was on a Zoom call where many of us were complaining about our lives not being normal. When someone quoted the great theologian Irma Brombeck by saying, normal is only a setting on your dryer. Well, I checked my dryer and there was no normal setting. And I examined our washer. There was no normal setting. But then I looked at our dishwasher and I did find a normal setting. Whew. I've been setting it there a lot. I know the comment was really not meant for me or anyone else to check our dryers and other appliances, but to realize that this side of heaven, From our birth to the time of our death, things are always in a constant state of change. When asked to make a model for the spread of the coronavirus in the United States, John Allen Paulus, a professor of math at Temple University, said, "No model is perfect." And then he said these words that I've gone back and actually looked at because I just felt they were helpful. "Uncertainty is the only certainty there is, and knowing how to live with insecurity is the only security." Uncertainty is the only certainty there is, and knowing how to live with that insecurity is the only security. I believe that is the way it is with the world. Indeed, if you're a student of history, you quickly learn that there is no normal to be counted upon. Yet we crave stability, and all the great temptation for each of us is to desire normal. And normal can become an idol. Therefore, at the very least, we struggle with an underlying irritability, which can easily turn to a loss of joy, and for some of us, even outbreaks of anger, until your desire for normalcy returns to life. In a sermon entitled "The Weight of Glory," C.S. Lewis described how our desires, even good ones, can capture our minds and hearts so that you miss the blessings that God has prepared for you today. He says this, "We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition," and we could put our desire for normalcy, "when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." As we get to the scripture in just a second, I know you've been waiting to get there, but I wanted to prepare it, is because I believe that our desire for normalcy can be a mud pie. And we get stuck there. And it really wasn't meant to satisfy us. But God has indeed promised you who are His a holiday at the sea. First, we're going to look at two things. First, what is normal for you today, for the church, before Christ return. Second, that normal was really only experienced by Adam and Eve at creation. And then to conclude with how you are to live now, looking forward to the new normal that Christ has promised for you or in Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to this verse of Scripture this morning, I pray that you would help us see it and look at it. We thank you that Jesus, knowing our need and our desire for normal, his own disciples, as he was leaving, left them with a word that they would need. And Heavenly Father, you know how we need it today. So we ask that you would do what we can't do, what I can't do in preaching or trying to explain. Would you bring your words to our heart that we would find comfort there and joy when things are not normal? And that we would look forward to what you have promised in Christ. Amen. Amen. So the scripture that we're going to open today, Lord willing, is in John 16 and 33. It's Jesus' last really full sermon, and it's to his disciples in the upper room. It's to that portion of the church, and it's to you today, because the disciples were struggling because Jesus would no longer be with them. What was normal for them would become abnormal. He promised his Holy Spirit, but he also promised those of us living this side of heaven, what our life would really be. John 16:33, Jesus says, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. You need to know that everything that you experience today, this side of heaven, is abnormal. Like us, Jesus' disciples would have liked him to promise them a smooth journey through life, free from trouble and care. They would have loved to hear their Lord tell them that this was going to be their best life now. And you can have lots of people who will tell you that. But that's not what Jesus said would be to his disciples this side of heaven. Ever since Adam and Eve, who chose mud pies in their rebellion against God's command in the garden, all of us in this world have been struggling under the curses that resulted from their sin. So here, you see it clearly. Jesus wants his disciples. He wants you to know what life is like this side of heaven. Jesus preached this to his disciples in the upper room. And he didn't do it in small print. He didn't hide it from them. He was preparing them and the church and you for it's normal to have tribulation this side of heaven. Tribulation means to compress and to crush. Therefore, the lives of believers will often be full of anguish and trouble in this world. In the very same sermon, Jesus prepared his disciples for difficulties when he said in John 15, verses 18 to 20, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, I chose you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they'll also persecute you. Now, my God's wonderful kindness to our nation. For a lengthy period of time, Christians in America have been almost always blessed and found relief from persecution. But brothers and sisters, you and I today are living off the fumes of our Christian heritage. And we're beginning to face what other believers had to face throughout history. And currently, so many of our brothers and sisters all across the world face this kind of crushing persecution, crushing tribulation for being Christ's and following Jesus. One example is in the news today and tomorrow as the hearings begin for the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Comey Barrett. You will see her attacked for the faith in Christ that she professes. But you don't have to be a Supreme Court nominee to find that out, because if you decide with your circle of friends or your family or at work to talk about these three basic areas, you will soon find yourself in there. If you will really open your mouth and tell people what you believe and what the truth is. The first is the exclusivity of Christ's gospel. If you will tell people there is no salvation except by faith, receiving and following Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Now, you know what happens. You share with family or friends or at work, if you're willing and bold enough to do that, and you share theirs, and then they say, well, let me tell you my truth. And that's when we fail to say, no, that's the only truth. Jesus said it. It's God's word. And if we will do that, you will find out what Jesus was talking about. Or, just for a second, talk with friends, relatives, co-workers about the reality of hell. It's a real place where God's eternal punishment awaits all who will not repent of their sins and by faith come to Christ. What? Or if you choose to mention that you not only disagree with abortion or homosexual relationships or acting upon gender confusion, but also say that they're sinful and evil, know how quickly you will find yourself being squeezed. But how kind of our Lord not just to say to his disciples, but also to you, you're going to have tribulation. But did you see what the rest of John 16 said? That we might have his peace. Why? He says this, take heart. Oh, I need to bring his words into my heart, because once I start hearing about squeezing and crushing and tribulation and persecution, I say, I don't want to get up in the morning. I don't want to talk to people about the truths of Christ and his love for them, and yet the truth that if they don't bow the knee before him, they will face his judgment. But he says, but take heart, I've overcome the world. We know that in the midst of any tribulations or persecutions we may face, let alone just the daily troubles we face because the world is fallen, that we can be so easily overwhelmed. If you've not been overwhelmed, please come and talk to me afterwards. I would love to sit under your discipleship. Because I don't always look to Christ and his promises and take heart, but I look at the difficulties. But look at the rest of what Jesus has told you so that your heart can be strengthened. You can find courage because your Lord and Savior has overcome the world. He has already obtained victory over sin and death at the cross. J.C. Ryle responds with this comment for us. When storms strike us and our hearts ache and our tears flow and gaps are made in our family circles and our friends fail us and our money makes itself wings and flies away, and sickness lays ourselves low, what we need is a friend. And we have one. One who has overcome this world. You might remember Romans 8, where there's a long list of the difficulties that the church would find being crushed, lives lost, thrown in jail, all of that. But in Romans 8, what it means that Jesus has overcome, it says in verses 37 to 9, in all these things, in all these tribulations and difficulties, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. The only way you're going to deal with wanting normal now is first realize that all of this world, this side of heaven, is abnormal. The only normal ever experienced by man was at creation before the fall. God gave Adam and Eve, as C.S. Lewis described, in the paradise of the garden, a holiday at the sea. It was great. There was no sin and death and decay and heartache. Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded man, saying, you shall surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the good and evil you shall not eat, for in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And then the Lord said, it's not good for the man to be alone, and I'll make a helper fit for him. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he was slept, took one of his ribs and closed it up the place. And the rib of the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. And the man and his wife were both naked, and they were not ashamed. We find out later that God would come in the cool of the evening and fellowship with them, give them commands, be their heavenly Father. They were his children, and they were to live with him, and there was no sin and death and difficulty. But instead of living that holiday by the sea, as C.S. Lewis has encouraged us, they chose the mud pies. Because like little children, like you and I, they said, I want what I want. I know better than you do, parent, and I want it now. Well, your kids have never said anything like that, right? Or you, even as an adult, when you're not getting your way. And the result was of choosing the fruit of the tree of knowledge and good and evil, listening to the certain, listening to the lies of Satan, is that the world was cursed. And so the joy of bringing a child into this world, the woman now is racked with pain and heartache. And a relationship of their husband was supposed to be a one of being together, side by side, but now is her desire is to rule over her husband. All right, bozo, this is the way we're going to do it. And he responds back. And Adam's work became much harder, less fulfilling as he sought to subdue the earth, for it was cursed with weeds and hardships and all that we experience as sin and death and decay today. That was normal. That's the way it's supposed to be. And until we get to heaven, this is abnormal. And until we realize that, we say, I want this, I want this. This is mud pies. Now, God gives us blessings of family and fellowship and church and worship. Great blessings in the midst of this abnormality. But it's nothing the way it's supposed to be. And he shows us that it's abnormal by the sin and decay so that we don't chase after all those other desires instead of him. But I won't just leave you there today, brothers and sisters. But you who are in Christ, even though you will have times, maybe in your life, in God's providence, more crushings and heartaches than I will, but you can rejoice because God has promised that there will be a new normal. John Stone Street has talked about God's plan to reverse the curse, to bring things back to normal in this way. You might have noticed how many, and I'll just list a few of them, how many gospel words are re-words. Now, the prefix re means to go back, to make it the way it was, to get back to normal. So, in this case, back before man's sin and rebellion against God. Here's just a few of the re-words. Regenerate. To make one's heart desire God's morals to be restored and receive his new life. Repent. To turn back from our sinful course of action of loving ourselves and our desires and follow God. Rebirth. To be given life from our sinful death spiritually to be able to trust God. Redemption. Jesus giving his life to ransom our souls from Satan that we would become God's children again. Let me read one more time to you C.S. Lewis's challenge as to how you think about normal today, what you're desiring to get back to. And I'm not saying even that they're bad things always, but that you won't be satisfied or those good things, those blessings, were never really meant to satisfy you, but God was. And so we will live wanting this normalcy now, which is really only the mud pies. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling around with drink and sex and ambition, and desiring everything to be normal, I'll add. when infinite joy is offered us, like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at a sea. We are far too easily pleased. Now, the church, especially in the New Testament, so many of the apostles, Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, had to write to them because they were experiencing those crushing times. The Apostle Peter encouraged the church not to be satisfied with getting back to normal, but to instead set their desires, to give their whole heart and mind to pursue God's new normal. Because we forget that we're sojourners in this world. We're passing through. It's an exodus. We all want to set down our roots, get a house with a strong foundation and family that's strong and a job that won't end and money that's coming in so we're secure and stable. That's not sojourners. If God gives us that blessing, fine, but we want to be build all those things and find our joy there because our kids are good or our health is good or our job is fine. And those things in this world are going to change and break and die and decay. And if you set your heart on that, you're going to be broken. Peter says this to his church under struggle and tribulation and to you, according to God's promises, we, you and I, are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Brothers and sisters, be strengthened today to live for and serve Jesus your Savior, because indeed the curse will be reversed. All things will not just be returned to normal, but instead to God's new normal, where he promises you in Revelation 24 that he will wipe away every tear from the abnormal life now, the tribulations and the crushings and the heartbreaks within the family, within your church family, within our nation that one side can't talk to the other, because Jesus, your Savior and Lord, will meet you and the new normal will be there, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more, and neither shall there be mourning nor crying nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Let's look to our Lord. Our Heavenly Father, it wasn't the normal on my dishwasher that I was desiring, but it was putting things back in place the way I want them. And so often in doing that, I missed what you want. So I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus helping his disciples, saying that this is a crushing time now. There will be many blessings you'll still get because sin hasn't completely overwhelmed everything and the world is being renewed and will be remade. But this is a time of tribulation. But take heart, have my peace, because I've overcome the world. And Lord, would you give us a reset on our hearts today as we turn off our phones and reset them and they work again, and we reset our computers when they're all full of bugs and everything else and they come back clean. Would you reset us, Lord, to look to you and your promises, that we would find our joy in our Savior Jesus Christ, in whom name we pray, and his promises. Amen.